Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And who is my neighbor? Jesus gets asked that question in today's gospel lesson. And who is my neighbor? This does not appear to be an innocent question. We're told that the man asking it was putting Jesus to the test and that he wished to justify himself. He knew the right answer from the scriptures and the liturgy was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But by asking, who is my neighbor, he is at the very least implying that the law is unclear. By asking this question, he's saying that it is necessary to define who is neighbor and who is not. That it's necessary to divide between us and them. That there have to be people who I am not obligated to help. Is he right? And who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus responds to that question by telling a story, one of his most well-known, and it's pretty provocative. Whatever their motivation, the religious professionals in this story pass right by the victim. Jesus chooses to make the hero a Samaritan. Now, fine, upstanding Israelites considered Samaritans unclean for historical reasons. Marriage with a Samaritan was prohibited, and there was even a saying, he who eats the bread of a Samaritan is like one who eats the flesh of swine. But in the script, Jesus writes, the Samaritan is the noble one, the one who loves according to the spirit of the law, the only one in the story whose actions are neighborly. The conclusion is obvious and inescapable, isn't it? And who is my neighbor? It's a question that continues to haunt people who take Jesus' words seriously. This incident makes it clear that a person can be well-versed in biblical studies and know a lot of right answers and still insist on defining who is neighbor and who is not, still insist on dividing between us and them, still insist that love your neighbor as yourself is way too broad and open-ended. We've got to narrow it down to a manageable list of people who deserve our help. But Jesus just blew up that way of thinking with this story. Didn't you hear the explosion? And who is my neighbor? The man who asked this question seemed to expect that Jesus was going to give him a list of who is neighbor and who's not. But did you notice? Jesus didn't do that. He actually turned the whole thing around and painted a picture of what loving your neighbor looks like. It looks messy. It looks stressful. It looks like mercy. The man asking the question was looking for exceptions. And Jesus tells a story that says mercy doesn't make exceptions. So what makes this teaching anything more than an impossible ideal that we will never hit? Well, it's this. If you remember in the story, the Samaritan saw the half-dead robbery victim and came to him in compassion. It was gut-wrenching for him to see this. So, he did something about it. He took action at great personal cost and inconvenience. The person who told this story, Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, Son of God, came to this world in compassion. It was gut-wrenching for him to witness the damage that sin had caused, so he did something about it. He took action, and it cost him his life. You and I will make no progress until we realize we are the man half dead, and Jesus is the one who does mercy as neighbor. Human nature says, I will act to love my neighbor as myself. Just tell me who he is. But Jesus says, you cannot act. You're barely alive. You need someone to love you, show mercy to you, heal you, pay for you, give you lodging, revive you. I've done all of that to spare you. My cross means mercy for you. So with my mercy in your heart, go and be merciful. Jesus asked, which of these three seems to you to have been a neighbor to the one who fell among the bandits? And the man said, the one who did the merciful thing for him. And Jesus said to him, go, and you do likewise. Want to be astounded? With a faith connection to Jesus, you can do just that. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we can only be merciful neighbors because you have been merciful to us. You have spared us. You have not repaid us as our sins deserve, but you have canceled our debt through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, take over our hearts. Melt our hearts with your mercy, so that that mercy overflows from us into the lives of those who cross our paths this day and in the days to come, so that you may be glorified and praised. In Jesus' powerful name we pray it. Amen.